This is the award-winning Speak Your Piece with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM, KODI, and 1140 AM, KZMQ.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Darren Dudrick. If you have a comment or question, you may call us at 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. Speak Your Piece is brought to you by Tim Mayhew of Level 4 Wealth Management in downtown Cody. Call today for a no-cost, no-obligation consultation, 586-2700. Also brought to you in part by First Bank of Wyoming, your home lending partner in town, and Mountain High Health Foods. For health foods, vitamins, herbs, books, anything for healthy living, stop by Mountain High Health Foods, top of the hill in Cody. Once again, the phone number is 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. When calling US callers, please tell us your first and last name. We limit callers to one call per show. Today's guest on Speak Your Piece, retired federal law enforcement officer, Bill Talon. Bill, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, Darren. Good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for coming in today. We're going to talk about the guns and school policy that the school board's tossing around. But before we do that, I just want to let the listeners know, just to get the kind of the debate rolling on this gun, like it needs any help. But I just wanted to point out a couple of things I think that should be out there if people haven't heard. But, you know, it's interesting because on January 22nd, in a female student was wounded after a fellow classmate opened fire at a Texas high school cafeteria. The suspected gunman, a 16-year-old male student, was taken into custody without incident. The high school was Italy High School in Italy, Texas, a town with a population of only 1,900 people. Now, the next day, on January 23rd, in Benton, Kentucky, a 15-year-old student opened fire with a handgun in Marshall County High School. 18 to 21 people were injured. Two were killed. Two people died in that. Now, Benton, Kentucky, the town of Benton, Kentucky, only 4,500 people, population only 4,500. Now, statements in this whole debate here in Cody regarding guns in schools and so forth, have been made. School shootings are rare, don't happen in small towns like Cody. Now, statements like that, let's just start it right now. Complete nonsense. I mean, you could be against guns in school. That's fine. You know, I have no pride. Respect that opinion. We should respect everybody's opinion. If you want to be against guns in schools, that's fine. But let's stop the ridiculous statements about school shootings don't happen in small towns and they're rare. I mean, look at the town in Kentucky, the town in Texas, Bill. And then to this argument, it can be made. The New York Times' article came out. Now, it could be disputed. Some of these have been disputed. 11 school shootings so far this year. So, saying they're rare, saying they don't happen in small towns, ridiculous. I don't know. Any comment on that?
Yeah, well, you know, I'd agree with you with one qualification. They certainly happen in small towns. They've happened in small towns across America. We could sit and run down the list of hundreds of school shootings in the last 20, 30 years. Quite a few of them have happened in towns as small as or smaller than Cody.
Back-to-back days in January.
Indeed. And the rarity thing, I think, deserves a little bit more attention. And there was an interesting comment brought up in the last school board meeting, and it was a fairly informed comment as far as it went, about the frequency or the number of school shootings compared to the number of schools and students across America, big country, 330 million people and so forth. So an argument can be made that they are relatively rare, but the point that I like to make from a background in intelligence work and risk management is when you look at a risk, you have to look at both the probability of a thing occurring and the consequences if it does occur. And so we may look at a thing and say, the chances of this happening here in our neighborhood or in our school may in fact be small if you run a statistical analysis on it, but the consequences are so horrifying, so severe, that sometimes the people actually responsible for making decisions on risk, as opposed to the analysts who work with statistics, the people who make decisions on risk sometimes have to look at events that are low probability but very high consequence and say, you know, we got to do something about this. And of course, what we do is we look for the for the lowest cost, reasonable solution we can find that'll mitigate that risk or mitigate the consequences if it happens, even as we recognize that the chances of it happening hopefully are small. And we also look at a policy like arming staff in schools, and we realize when we look at experience across America to date, in states and districts which do this, they're not experiencing school shootings. So you have a deterrent effect. So not only do you lower the consequences if that bad day happens, but you lower the probability that will ever happen because people don't come into schools and shoot them up when they know there's an unknown number of armed people there ready to defend it.
I want to take this New York Times article because there's an interesting angle that you have that I think is completely legit and probably the main reason for it, because the New York Times is certainly not a conservative publication. I mean, I think everybody can agree it's very liberal. And for them to come out with a story that says there's been 11 school shootings so far this year, and one angle, the point I was trying to make is here you have a non-conservative publication saying there's all these school shootings, which plays into the hands here, right here in Cody, for those people that say, hey, we need to have staff armed because if there's that many school shootings, we need to have them. However, I think the key play of this whole New York Times thing has been an anti-gun play, right, Bill? Is that
well, very much. I mean, it's you know, the New York Times, National Public Radio, and the Huffington Post all ran a story the same day, 24 January, with the same list of 11 so-called school shootings in January of 2018. The BBC was the latecomer. They followed up on 28 January with the same claim. But it's not an epidemic. It's a coordinated, deceptive anti-gun campaign. All right, they're not shilling for armed defenders in schools. They're trying to take guns away to reduce gun violence everywhere. And when you look at their list, and interestingly enough, Huffington Post busted them all, because Huffington Post ran a story which actually gave descriptions of every one of these 11 shootings. Okay, four of them were at colleges. Okay, and things like a fight at a sorority house on a major university campus.
Yeah, they're including a lot of ridiculous
things. Results
in
somebody going out to the car and getting a gun. Okay, four of them happened at colleges, which are essentially public spaces, right? With no restricted access, no control on actions. Two of them were simple suicides. Right? One of them was a fellow, an adult, firing a pellet gun at a school bus driving by on the street, picking up kids going to school. And two of the 11 were drive-bys, actually shots fired out of a moving vehicle in the general direction of a school. They shot out two windows and a bullet lodged in a three-ring binder on a shelf. Out of those 11 so-called school shootings, the ones you mentioned are the only ones that are really significant for the argument that we're undertaking here locally. The Kentucky was a mass shooting, all right, by everybody's definition. And the Italy, Texas shooting, you know, where the young lady was killed by the shooter, who was later arrested. Those are the two times in a K-12 public school somebody came into the school with a gun with the intention of killing people and did so.
It's just interesting though that headline, 11 school shootings so far this year, certainly plays in the hands of those in favor of having armed staff here in Cody. Let's go to the phone line. Caller, please state your first and last name.
Morning, gentlemen. Glenn Shelf.
Hi, Glenn.
Thanks, Bill, for all you do, first of all. And referring to an article in the Powell Tribune, January 25th, I don't know if you talked about that yet or not, but I'm in a little hurry to get out of town here. But the school staff response regarding that issue was 63.68%, and the community response was 66.98%. And that certainly is different, and that was in Park One School District. And that certainly is extremely different from the 39% that was in a Cody Enterprise newspaper poll. And it certainly was a lot higher than the meeting that we had in the Monday after that poll was taken. Bill, you were there. I was there. It seemed to me, and I don't know what the school board percentages was that they tallied of the speakers for and against that. However, it seemed to me that at least 80% of the community was against that, leaving only 20% or so of people who were for guns in school. Now, that 20% versus the almost 67% in Part 1, something is wrong. There's either something in the water in the Cody district or the Park 6 district where people had been drinking the Kool-Aid before they came to the meeting and before they responded to that poll. Can you offer any explanation for the extreme difference, perhaps other than leadership that we might have in our school system here in Park 6?
Well, you raise a good question, Glenn, and there's a lot that can be said about that, but let me make a point that's kind of a general point by diverting a little bit. In the BBC story a few days ago that talked about these 11 school shootings, they cited a 2013 poll taken by the NEA, the National Education Association, and you can go to their website and you can find this. And they said 64% of, that's wrong. 68% of teachers polled by the NEA nationwide were opposed to having armed non-law enforcement people in school. But with polls, including all of these local polls and forums and so forth, and email campaigns, you've got to look at what these numbers really represent. The NEA, and you can read this on their website, the NEA sent their poll to exactly 800 people. They have a membership of somewhere between 2 and 3 million. They're the teachers' union, the National Teachers Union. They sent this survey to 800 of their own members. All right, so they're already selecting out of the population of teachers the people who are dues-paying members of the NEA. And so what you really got was 68% of 800 union members. That's 544 people across America responded to the NEA saying, "Oh, we don't want armed people in our schools." What's that worth? I would suggest it's not worth much. Now, what you have, and then you run a public forum here in Cody, and who do you get? All right. Yes, you're right, Glenn. I don't know the exact numbers, but the people in opposition to this proposed policy outnumbered those of us who were in support of it. But what does that really represent? It represents the population of people who are willing to devote, you know, a weeknight evening to showing up and engaging in some political theater. It's not a representation of the community.
Well, it seems, Bill, and I can't go through this whole article here, but it seems like it looks like pretty much apples to apples comparison. The staff, the school staff response at 64%, and the community response at 67%, and that's just unbelievably different than.
Right.
What we see here in Park 6.
Well, you're right, Glenn. I am inclined to believe that Powell survey was probably a more accurate reflection of that community.
Well, I certainly hope so.
Yeah. I certainly hope so. And I think that if you could conduct a fair and accurate survey in Park 6, I don't think the numbers would be very different than that. But the problem always is, how do you construct and execute a survey that is really going to be an accurate reflection of the community?
Because well, I refer again to the Cody Common Sense poll that was taken the week before, and you're probably aware of that, and that showed 39% only that were in favor of guns in school. I've got to run here, guys, but thanks again. I'll listen in on the way out, Tom. Thanks.
Sure.
Bye.
Thanks,
yeah,
Glenn. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, one last thing on Glenn's comment is the Cody Enterprise survey. I know some people that did some experimentation there. The Cody Enterprise survey ran the way a lot of online surveys run. You open up the website, you see the survey, you respond. You know, if you then open up the survey. Say you do that on your PC at the house or your Mac. All right, then you open up your smartphone and you go to the same site. You can vote again because you have a different device with a different IP address. So I can vote once with my smartphone, once with my computer. All right, I can walk up to the kids' room and open up the kids' computer and I can vote again. Okay, how many smartphones and how many computers does the average family have? All right, typically more than one anyway. So there's no control on how many times a person can vote. There are methods of running online polling which control for that, but they're difficult, they're expensive, they require some technical expertise. And so we have to be careful about that, really, really careful about that. And what it really boils down to is, what elected body decides policy on the basis of public opinion polling? It is so inaccurate and unreliable that,
especially online polling, like you said, I've said this for a few weeks now. If the districts can do an online poll, I hope the school board members cautiously look at that, because depending on the type of software and type of poll it is, it could be heavyweight either way.
And in all honesty, when this came up prior to the school board's last meeting, January 16th, I stood up and I commented in the meeting and I said, look, I have a very strong feeling, and this was before the release of the Powell survey results. I said, I have a very strong feeling that if you do a reasonably fair poll of the community here in Park 6, that the results are going to come back positive in favor of this policy, and I still recommend against it. I said, if I took this from a purely partisan point of view, I'd say, yeah, go ahead. Because I was thinking to myself, we'd get results like what Powell got a week later. But the point of it is, I don't believe that any of those polling results, you can't take them to the bank, because there are so many potential errors in the polling that, they're interesting data points, but they're not something to base policy upon.
You know, we got to take a break, but I wonder if the New York Times could be thinking if they knew the unintended consequence of a story, and you call it a fake story, I guess, whatever, with the stats of 11 school shootings, the unintended consequence for them could lead to guns arming staff here in Cody, because people say, hey, the New York Times said there's 11 school shootings, so we better arm staff in Cody, so that there's an unintended consequence possibly for a headline and a story like that that could lead to schools arming staff, which, if you agree with that, that's a good thing.
Well, indeed. And the thing that people tend to lose sight of if they don't look at the bigger picture is the trend nationwide is towards arming school staff. It's not the other way, and it's not a minority. In fact, there are 15 states that have statutes like Wyoming statutes that allow staff to be armed in the public schools at the discretion of their local school board. There's 10 more states that allow concealed carry by staff and non-staff under various conditions, but the most common condition is some form of local approval by the school board or the administration. 25 states, Darren, 25 states out of 50 at last count, if I don't use Obama's count, 25% of the states in the union allow concealed carry in their schools, and there is simply no evidence of anybody being shot accidentally or intentionally in the schools where those armed staff are present.
Well, coincidence or not, having back-to-back school shootings in consecutive days like that in towns that small across our country should be concerning to everybody.
It should. Absolutely.
We're going to take a quick break on Speaker Peace. If you'd like to join the conversation today with Bill Talon, give us a call, 587-1400. We'll be back with more Speaker Peace right after these messages.
The views and or opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily the views and or opinions of this station or its advertisers.
Incredible savings on all in-stock flooring. This is Kim Scheid, flooring manager at Haskell Furniture and Flooring, and we have some incredible savings on carpet, vinyl, hardwood, tile, and the ever-popular LVT in everything from casual to elegant styles. We'll come to your home, give you an estimate, line up our professional installers, or save even more with cash and carry pricing. Stop in today, Haskell Furniture and Flooring in Cody, Lovell, and Moreland, where we've expanded our flooring showroom.
Good intentions and positive thinking are often not enough to make positive changes in your life. This is Marty from Mountain High Health Foods, and we have some exciting products to help. Whether your goal is to lose weight, quit smoking, lower your blood pressure, reduce stress, or improve your night's sleep, we also have great products for keeping your family healthy and boosting your immune system. Stop in and see us today. Mountain High Health Foods, top of the hill in Cody.
Busting the budget is everyone's biggest fear when doing home renovations. Learn tips, techniques, and practical solutions to help make your home the best-looking house on the block. Tune into Today's Homeowner, hosted by national home improvement expert and media personality Danny Litford. Homeowners from all over the country call and email their home improvement questions on the air. sponsored by Rocky Mountain Granite, Bighorn Basin Home Inspections, and Prime Property Management. Listen each Sunday from 7 to 9 a.m. on KODI AM 1400 and 96.7 FM.
You need a case of oil or a 55-gallon drum? February is the time to save big on all your lubricant needs. The Bighorn Co-op is having their annual oil sale. Save on quality Cenex lubricants like motor oil, hydraulic oil, grease, and gear oil, all at the best prices of the year. Stock up now. The annual oil sale goes through February at the Bighorn Co-op. Visit any of our stores, locations in Powell, Grable, Basin, Worland, Riverton, and Buffalo.
Sign up today for Spin Cody. This is Doug Whedon. Cody Regional Health Foundation and Cody Recreation Foundation invite you to join us Saturday, March 24th for the Spin Cody Bike Race, a fun day of music, door prizes, and friendly competition. All athletic abilities are welcome. Put together a team of up to 10 people to share 20-minute heats. You'll be helping to raise funds for a new cardiac catheterization lab and added recreation space for the Cody community. Register your team today. Call 578-2338 or visit us at spincody.org.
Listen Monday through Friday for the award-winning Speak Your Piece on KODI. Join host Darren Dudrick weekday mornings from 9 to 10 as he talks with guests covering topics that affect our local community and takes calls from you to discuss impacts. Wyoming Association of Broadcasters awarded KODI Speak Your Piece first place for best talk show in Wyoming. Tune in mornings 9 to 10 with rebroadcast from 4 to 5 in the afternoon. Speak Your Piece only on 1400 AM and 96.7 FM KODI, the Bighorn Basin's news authority.
Radio is on 24/7. That means it's reaching over 93% of people ages 12 and older every week and 78% daily. Radio reaches people at home, at work, at play, and in their cars. Our listeners are extremely loyal to their favorite stations, including this one. Plus, radio's relatively low cost in relation to other media. No matter how small or large your business, Bighorn Radio Network can brand and create a unique identity that customers will remember. So, the real question is, why not radio?
Hey, at our startup, my team and I move at the speed of tech 24/7. Bottom line, I just want the news that matters. So I turn to my local radio and TV stations. I want to hear from people who live and work in my town, people I know and trust, for the best entertainment, sports, news, weather, and traffic, anytime, anywhere, I stay local. Support your local stations. Text RADIO to 52886. Furnished by the NAB and this station. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out.
We are back on Speak Your Piece. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick, visiting with Bill Tellen, who's a retired federal law enforcement officer. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 587-1400. Let's go right to the phone line. Caller, please state your first and last name.
Dewey Vanderhoff.
Hey, Dewey.
Bill?
Hi, Dewey.
I don't know whether, well, I got to tell you that half of me, when you come on this show and build your case, half of me wants to be down on the floor rolling around laughing my duff off. And the other half is pretty angry at your twisted logic.
Well, Dewey, I have to say I share the sentiment. I go between laughing and anger at the way you represent yourself.
But okay, on the issue as well. You're in the catbird seat this morning, and I'm the cat. I'm just going to start in on one of the points you made in the last segment. You're trying to tell us that there have not been any school shootings in places where guns are in place. You're trying to use two negatives to make a positive. You're saying something didn't happen because something else didn't happen. The negative of a negative is a positive. And you really cannot say that. You can't pull that off using logic. Just because something doesn't happen, you can say that your deterrence worked. You don't know. You really don't know. And the very first time that somebody walks into a school where there's firearms in place and shoots it up anyway, your argument flies out the window and you can't use it anymore. You say there are 17 states that are now allowing guns in schools, and you say, well, that's where the trend is going. Well, my gosh, it can't go the other way to start with, because there's already no guns in the schools. You can only go one direction with that. You go from no guns to guns. So don't sit here and try to tell me that it can't go, that says something. State laws have always had been on the books, spelling out very clearly with penalty where you cannot take a gun in a state. Used to be, I'm not the firearms expert, and I'm not the lawyer, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway, to the best of my knowledge, which, as you know, is not always accurate, and I'll admit that. But there have been places in every state where you are forbidden from taking a gun. Courtrooms. Used to be in Wyoming, you couldn't bring a gun into a place that had a liquor license. It used to be in some towns in Wyoming, they were allowed to pass laws in Wyoming, believe it or not, that you couldn't even bring a gun into town without checking it with a peace officer. You know, I don't even know where else to go with this, but the logic that the gun advocates use, their sense of absolution, that we have an absolute right to all the firearms we can buy, possess, yada, yada, is, to my mind, about as faulty as you can stretch something without breaking it. And I'm not so sure it isn't broken. The Second Amendment is the most wildly interpreted, misinterpreted, misconstrued, construed, and otherwise stretched piece of verbiage in the entire system of laws and codices in this country. The Second Amendment, being notwithstanding it was written 230 years ago, is, I think, needs some work. And what you are basically asking us, telling us, or trying to shove down our gullets, is that somehow by training and arming school employees, that you are establishing a militia. That well-regulated militia being necessary, comma. This is basically, to my mind, an apparition of the well-regulated militia. You know, I'm just going to come down on the side of saying it would be better all the way around if we didn't ever have any gun in the school anytime for any reason, and leave it right there, because that is the only situation we set up where everybody is on the same page with the same understanding, and that is that. I personally already think that schools are on that list of places in Wyoming that you can't take a gun into by law, by state law, right down to the local level. And we're trying to invert that, subvert it, and bring it up to the top side. And I have to totally agree with you on polling and methodology and people that build to a conclusion using opinions gathered by some way, shape, or means. I totally adhere to what Mark Twain said over 100 years ago. There's lies, damn lies, and statistics. And that's exactly what's going on with polls. The disparity between what was polled out in Cody on guns and what happened in Powell, that doesn't mean anything to me one way or the other. This kind of an issue is not established by public opinion. Public opinion is not judge, jury, and hangman. Public opinion is just that. It's opinion in the public. The way we do things around here is we elect a school board, and they do it for us. They represent us, and that's how it works. I wouldn't want to be a sitting school member in Cody right now. This is a tough issue, but it's tough everywhere. It's tough around the world, but everybody looks to America for guidance on lots of things, or at least they used to until that orange-haired guy got into office. And lo and behold, America has the gun problems. The rest of the world doesn't have a whole lot of gun problems. And what is the difference? We have more guns.
Hey, Dewey, thanks for the call.
I don't want to see guns in schools, QED. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for the call. Bill, I'll go ahead and let you respond, Dewey.
Well, you know, Dewey, this is a really, really special day because for the first time since I've been hearing your public commentary, we found something we agree on, which is that we do not agree on the use of public opinion polls to make policy. But let me go down the list here and deconstruct just about every other argument you just offered, okay? I have never claimed that the fact that there are no school shootings occurring where armed staff personnel exist, that there's a causal relationship. In fact, if you were listening instead of hopping up and down in the public forum a couple of weeks ago, you would have heard me say that correlation is not causation. Yes, there are many factors that influence where school shootings do and do not occur. That is only one of them. And I've said that publicly and written it on many occasions. You really ought to do a little bit more research yourself into the law, okay? State law in Wyoming absolutely does not prohibit guns in school. In fact, when HB 194 passed in the 2017 legislative session, that is exactly what this debate is about. State law in Wyoming allows concealed carry by school staff members who are approved by their local school board. That is the status of state law today. The actual prohibition on weapons on school property is primarily not state but federal. The Federal Gun Safe School Zones Act of 1996 is the law nationwide which prohibits firearms on school grounds, with certain exceptions. Obviously, the exception for law enforcement officers or for hired security guards, or, again, very much to the point of this debate, anyone licensed by the state to carry a weapon. And nationwide, in at least 15, if not all 25 states that are allowing this today, states can specifically authorize certain concealed carry permittees to carry a weapon on school property, and that uses the exclusion in the federal law, and that's how it's done. And that's how it would be done here. This is how the Wyoming legislature crafted that legislation to represent licensing by the state, not for everybody with a concealed carry permit, but for school staff employees specifically approved by their school boards. That is legal in the state of Wyoming, and whether or not we implement that in Park 6 is, in fact, what we're talking about here.
Before you continue, Bill, let's take this other phone call. Caller, please state your first and last name.
Hi, this is Woody Wilkerson.
Hey, Woody.
Hi, Darren. Hi, Bill. Hey, I wanted to talk about that poll a little bit. First thing I wanted to say, though, is in response to what Dewey had just been talking about, you know, people keep arguing about whether what the deterrent effect is going to be on this, and we can argue all day long about that. But a lot of people keep forgetting to talk about the issue of response time, too, which I think is a huge issue. And, you know, when you have law enforcement personnel looking you in the eye and telling you, like they did to the school board, that we're not going to get there on time, that is a huge statement and makes a big impact on me. When you look at these things, and the whole problem is by the time law enforcement gets there, it's over. You know, that's a big issue that this does have the potential to help. One thing I will say as far as the history of these other jurisdictions that have been doing this, you know, a lot of the potential problems or bad side effects that people bring up that could come up with this are very speculative, and none of them have come up. One thing you can look at the history for is you've got these jurisdictions that have been doing this for a long time, and none of these speculative possibilities have happened. So you do have history that shows, no, these things aren't going wrong. But, you know, as far as the conversation you guys had on that poll, you know, I think one issue with the Enterprise poll was it really didn't say what the proposition was. It just kind of was a general, do you support armed personnel in school? And it didn't list all the restrictions and conditions and requirements. And, you know, I have a hard time believing anybody would say yes to that poll because it didn't say really. It was so general. I wouldn't support that. But if you're going to have a good poll, and I mentioned this to the school board regarding the one they're working on, you got to tell people what is actually being proposed, the conditions and restrictions and requirements that are in the statute and that are in the proposed policy. And I'm hoping the school board does that. If you don't do that, then you're not telling people what you're thinking about. And there are significant requirements and restrictions that people need to be aware are in there. I would like to hope that you'll point out one other thing. I listened to Speak Your Piece the other day when Hank Cole was on there, and I think there was some very confusing information on that. I left that conversation thinking that Hank Cole just told everybody that there's a cop in every school or a police officer in every school. And I had to go back and listen to it again. And really what he said was there's a police officer in every school district. But the way the conversation went and the response to the caller who was talking about having a cop in every school, it left the listener believing that there was a cop in every school. And I don't think that was intentional on Hank Coe's part, but it's kind of what the conversation left. And I think it's important with this poll coming up that people understand when they answer this survey, there's not a cop in every school. There's one cop in Park 6 for seven schools, and so there's not. So I hope you make a point to point that out. That's all I've got to say. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Woody. Yeah, Bill, you can clarify that, what the senator said. We got one school resource officer in Cody that is used in all the schools here in Cody.
Well, yes, she is, although she spends the vast majority of her working hours in the high school.
It's high school.
Right,
okay.
Right. That's Woody raises a couple of good and interesting points. The enterprise poll and actually the school staff survey that the district did back in, I think it was late November, early December, both suffered from the problem that Woody mentioned, which is they were very nonspecific. And when you look at the evidence of public debate, the opinions that were stated in the public forum in January, emails, letters to the editor, public statements, you can see that so many people who may be very well-meaning people, but they speak out in opposition to this with some really, really fallacious assumptions. They believe that we're either going to permit everyone to carry firearms willy-nilly into the schools, or that teachers and staff members are going to be forced to carry weapons. I mean, you literally hear people saying this and reacting in horror. And frankly, I don't credit any of those responses from people who haven't taken the time to read the Wyoming statute, read the proposed policy, understand all of the controls and restrictions that both law and policy would place upon this. Once people are well informed on that process, reasonable people begin to step back from that position and say, well, maybe that would be reasonable.
Let's go to the phone line. Caller, please state your first and last name.
Yeah, Cliff Bryan.
Hi, Cliff.
Yeah. I just have a couple of questions on this. Is the policy as it's being written and voted on by the school board, number one, you have to volunteer to be to carry, right?
Correct.
In the school?
That is correct.
Okay. And number two, you have to take a psychological test?
Correct.
And number three, you have to show that you're proficient with the gun you'll be carrying.
Exactly, and it goes beyond that because it specifies a specific training that must be completed.
Yeah, well, I would assume, correct me if I'm wrong, that basically everyone working at the school will know who can carry and who can't.
That's a kind of a complex issue because the state law says that the identity of people approved has to be treated as a confidential personnel record, but that certainly would not prevent administrators and staff in a school from knowing who those people were. That's something that would have to be sorted out in practice.
See, I think we have a contradiction there, because how in the world are you going to take people and give them psychological tests? Somebody has to administer those tests, and somebody has to take them out to the shooting range or whatever. And I think that we're putting, if they decide to do this, I think they're putting those people in grave danger. Mm-hmm. Because if somebody is planning this, like most of them are, the first thing they're going to do is figure out who's carrying and who's going to be in school at what times. And the odds are very strong that will be their first target, to get rid of the person that can protect the kids. So it just boggles my mind that we think that our school teachers are so mentally unstable that they're not capable of taking care of an emergency situation should it happen. You know, what if a shooter comes in and nobody's They're going to have to make decisions. And what difference is that than if they're carrying and have to make decisions? Decisions are decisions, and I'd a lot rather see somebody with the ability to stop a killer who's not had a psychological test, and so that everybody in the whole town, because I know how rumors run in this town, knows who's carrying and who isn't. This thing is getting so complicated, and you know, you get somebody who's hunted all their lives, or who enters fast draw contests and everything else, and then you've got to go show somebody that you know how to shoot. It's all crazy. Nobody's going to volunteer for this, and unless they are proficient with a gun.
Hey, Cliff, I got to take a break, but anything
you
want to wrap up?
You were going to shut me off. You never shut Dewey off. You just shut me off every time I'm on.
Do you want to wrap it up somehow? You got a question or comment you want to make? Oh, okay, well, that was quick. Well, we are going to take a quick break on Speak Your Piece. If you'd like to join the conversation today with Bill Talon, give us a call, 587-1400. We'll be back with more Speak Your Piece right after these messages.
Friends, neighbors, customers. Maybe those sound different to you, but Bighorn Federal believes putting their local customers and local communities first brings us all closer together. And Bighorn Federal's local market knowledge, local board of directors, and local approval process quickly turns a customer into a friend. Local customers, local loans, and local deposits. That's doing business the Bighorn Federal way. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Chef DeWitt inviting you to join us at the Bliss Restaurant at Monster Lake Ranch on Friday, February 9th, as we bring New Orleans to your table with a festive Mardi Gras dinner featuring delicious Cajun cuisine. Everything from crawfish etouffee to grilled oysters, red snapper, and king cake. This is my specialty, and I can't wait to share it with you. Mention this ad and save 30% on our cabins. Ask for details when you call 587-5960. Laissez le bon temps rouler. Let the good times roll. Happy Mardi Gras, Shaw.
When you need physical or occupational therapy, exercise your choice and choose Canyon Therapy. This is Allison Tipton, and our patient satisfaction is proof positive that we're a professional team of physical and occupational therapists with diverse experience. Our successful outcomes are just one reason why patients and doctors recommend our clinic. Let us help you get back to life. Canyon Therapy is conveniently located on Cody's West Strip. Call 587-9789. Relief, recovery, results.
It's a clothing sale going on now at Linton's Big R. Get 20% off on blue sticker flannel shirts. They've cut the price on women's Roper Western boots at 30% off. And they have a clearance on select boots for men and women at half price. The sale's on now at Linton's Big R.
Almost anything, Big R's got it.
Join us weekdays for 2 hours of local talk, news, weather, and sports here on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM, KODI. From 4 to 5 p.m., it's a rebroadcast of Wyoming's award-winning news talk program, Speak Your Piece. Followed at 5 with an hour of in-depth news, weather, and sports with award-winning sports director Tim Anderson. It's the information you need to know. Weekdays from 4 to 6 p.m., only on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM, KODI, your news authority.
Hi, this is Terry Crews, actor, former football player, game show host, father of five, and all-around big dude. I'm also an expert on drama. I know all kinds of drama. There's the good kind that comes with having a house full of kids. There's the bad kind, like season-ending injuries. There's the necessary kind, like having an agent in Hollywood. And there's silly drama, like the drama around my percolating pectorals. And then there's the drama you can skip.
Skip the drama that comes with not having your high school diploma or equivalency. Find free adult education classes near you and finish your high school diploma. Visit finishyourdiploma.org.
Or text DIPLOMA to 97779. Message and data rates may apply. Reply STOP to opt out. That's DIPLOMA to 97779. And leave the drama to actors like me.
Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ed Council.
We are back on Speak Your Peace. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick, visiting with retired federal law enforcement officer Bill Tallon. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 587-1400. Bill, I want to ask you a question that's confusing to me, and maybe you can help clear it up for me. A few years ago, there was a group of people, during the debate on reading resources at the school level, a group of people stood up, a lot of them stood up and said, you know, enough of this nonsense. Let's pass these resources. We need to trust the teachers. Let's trust the teachers because they know how to teach both sides, and they'll do it fairly. They know what's right and wrong. Let's trust the teachers. Flip to today, and now nobody, and that's, you know, some of those same people are saying, we can't trust the teachers to handle a weapon if a crisis happens. I just find that contradictory a little bit. I don't understand why you can trust them in one sense, but then you can't in the other sense. Is there an explanation for that?
Well, true enough, Darren, and it kind of makes your head spin around when you follow those arguments, because some of these same people will praise the heroism of teachers at Sandy Hook Elementary in Connecticut, who, as near as we understand, a couple of them stepped in front of their students to shield their students from the gunfire of the killer that came into that school. Well, yeah, all honor to them. All honor to them.
Absolutely.
But they were impotent. They couldn't stop a thing. They took the first bullets, they went down, and the children behind them were shot. I have enormous respect for the sense of responsibility, the understanding of in loco parentis that teachers have and other school staff members in regards to their responsibility for the children that are in their custody. I respect that. I also know from my professional background that there's no class of people in America that are more able to train to the level of skill and proficiency required for this than professional educators.
Sure.
These people are easy to teach and easy to train. I've done it. I've seen it done. I have a lot of faith in these people, and the next time someone stands in the position of one of those Sandy Hook teachers, I would rather them have the means to fight back rather than die helpless.
Because they have a family to go home to.
Indeed, they do.
You know, and I just don't understand how we can trust the teachers in one sense, but we can't in another sense. It's contradicting in a lot of ways.
When our district ran the staff survey last year, there were 36 respondents, okay, certified employees, teachers, in our schools who said, if this policy were in place today, I would volunteer. 36. You know, that's, in fact, it surprised me, Darren. I thought that early on, before this thing was in place, that the number would have been smaller than that. But we had 36 people stepped up and said, I'd volunteer today if you would let me.
Now, we got about 6 minutes left. There's a couple important points that need to be made that I know, Bill, you wanted to make regarding the school shooting in the small town in Texas and the small town in Kentucky.
Yeah, a couple of interesting points when you dig below the headlines on these stories. In Texas, you had a 16-year-old boy came in and shot a 15-year-old girl who was a former girlfriend of his. And in the follow-up stories, you find that there were several students in that Texas school who said, we warned them, that this boy, in fact, had shown outbursts of anger and violence and had made threats in the past, and students had gone to their school administration and warned them.
So they warned them.
They'd warned them about the potential for violence, and nothing was done. I am a great believer in prevention programs. Okay, I believe that catching these problems before they progress to the point of lethal violence is a great and wonderful thing, but there is an example of how even those programs, as well-intentioned as they may be, can fail, because we all have a normalcy bias. We all have the tendency to react with complacency. You know, just a kid acting up and, you know, nothing will come of it. And so we'll take no action. And I'm not saying that that would happen here, but, well, we just have the evidence. A young lady died in Texas at the hands of a kid who was known to have these tendencies, and he was reported to the administration, and nothing was done. So what we have is, when you have armed people in the school, it's not the first line of defense by any means, but it is the last line. When everything else fails and that kid walks through the door with a gun in his hand, you have somebody in place to protect lives.
Now, what about the Kentucky one? Which is interesting.
Kentucky is
similar to what we're going on here, right?
Indeed. They're a little bit behind us on the timeline. Kentucky is one of the states that does not have any provision for concealed carry in their schools. And then the week after the shooting there, which is the one mass school shooting that happened in January. In the week after that, a Kentucky legislator introduced a bill in his legislature that is essentially a carbon copy of the one we have now have in place in Wyoming that would allow school boards the discretion to approve concealed carry by school staff in their schools. And he made all of the arguments the supporters of this law in Wyoming have made, saying this is the means at hand that would allow us to put someone in place who could stop something like this before 14 kids are killed.
Well, there you go. That's an example of being reactive to a situation. And with all due respect, here we're trying to be proactive. Let's go to the phone line. Caller, please state your first and last name.
My name is Dana Knight.
Hi, Dana.
I'd like to make a couple of statements in there on Dewey's behalf. He said that, that putting guns in school is not a good idea. I beg to differ. It's a matter of opinion, but we've tried it his way. I think it's our time to try it our way and protect our kids. And number two, Mr. Trump didn't have anything to do with this conversation. And I strongly oppose what he said about our president. Anyway, thank you.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Bill, we got about 3 minutes left. Anything you wanted to point out regarding this whole debate and what's upcoming or anything else?
Well, we've covered a lot of the points of argument on this issue here and in former sessions. I guess the last thing I'd like to say is I hope that our school board will proceed with deliberate consideration of this. I mean, I was rather disappointed last month when they decided to table the bill so that they could answer some outstanding questions. And I look back at that process. I mean, I've sat start to finish through every school board meeting and work session since September, and they've had plenty of opportunity to raise and address questions, but it seems like there are always a few members who trot out a new question every meeting, and action is being delayed. I don't think it needs to be delayed. Nobody's proposing a rush. We're trying to get this thing done in a deliberate way.
Let's go to the phone line. Caller, you have about 30 seconds. A question or comment. Your name, please.
Yes. I just want to tell Cliff I've got his back. I agree with what Cliff said. Dewey does get prime time. Sorry about that, kiddo, because I love your program. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Okay. Okay, well,
there we go. And yeah, I would have to agree. And Dewey, you got to love Dewey, but Dewey tries to turn everything into an argument about the Second Amendment or an argument about national politics. And, gosh, I just don't think you get very far in this community by assailing the Second Amendment. This is not a Second Amendment issue. This is an issue about.
It's what's becoming of it, though. Unfortunately,
well, it doesn't need to be, because nobody is saying that everybody has a right to carry guns onto school property.
That's totally blown that out of proportion.
It's blown entirely out of proportion. It's a straw man argument that does not pertain to what we're looking at here.
So, in 30 seconds, anything you think that this first reading will be presented this month by the school board. What are the chances of maybe moving to a second reading in March?
Well, I think once the process starts, I think that that there's a majority of our school board that is quite capable of understanding the rights and wrongs of this issue, and I think they will advance it. We've got to get past that first hurdle. They've got three readings, and in every reading, amendments and refinements can be discussed and voted up or down. We're not going to get now to a final vote before April. I don't think that we need to delay it any further.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. Bill Talon, thanks for coming in today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Darren.
We'll see you next month.
You bet.
And that will do it for Speak Your Peace. I'm Darren Dudrick. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.
This has been Speak Your Peace with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM KODI Cody, and 1140 AM KZMQ Grable.